You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Steph Curry, all-time Warriors franchise scoring mark. Wilt previously had the scoring mark. Wilt also played basketball. Also, the Nuggets lose Jamal Murray. And Zach Greinke gets a speeding ticket for going too slow with this panel. Let's go.
You ever got one of those? Going too slow on the highway?
Never.
Thing.
What?
The latest on Jamal Murray, and it's not good. Torn ACL, his season is over. The consequences of it all in the Western Conference, kind of enormous because Murray's takeover in the playoffs last year was kind of enormous. Oof, this is just terrible to look at. L. Duncan, around the horn to you. How do you look at the West now that Denver is without Jamal Murray?
Yeah, I mean, this is tough. I hate it for the Nuggets, right? They had got Aaron Gordon. They were gelling. They were feeling really good about where they were. Michael Porter settled in as a really good third scoring option. And then this happens. If you're Jokic, you're thinking, wow, I mean, because there's not a more important point guard and big man duo than those two. Because unlike the one in Philadelphia, both of these guys can shoot. In fact, between Jokic and Murray, I think they've assisted on 186 baskets together. So they certainly have something going. But I'm not going to be as fatalist as I assume that my panelists here today will be, simply because I ironically think the Nuggets are in the same position right now as they were this time in the playoffs last year, where they were asking the question, what Michael Porter can do for them, because I actually believe the Nuggets live and die by whether they're going to get the kind of contribution they've needed to get from Michael Porter Jr. The defense is never going to be there, but he can more than make up for what they're going to lose off.
Everybody wants in on L. Duncan right now. Look, a shaking head no all over the place. Israel Gutierrez, please join us.
Well, I just love how L just throws out a number like, oh, they've assisted to, I don't know, I think 186 baskets to each other. You know the number.
Just off the top of my head. And so,
I think they're pretty much doomed in terms of championship run because they are closer to what they were in the bubble last year, which is a piece away. And this year, had they been completely healthy with the Will Barton in the playoffs, with and Aaron Gordon, yeah, they would have looked at the landscape and said, wow, we can win this thing, especially with Jokic playing the way he's playing. If you look around and say, yeah, I know Phoenix is number one. Nobody's really scared of the Phoenix Suns. The Clippers, yeah, you could be scared of some of the pieces that they have, but look how their season ended last year. And obviously the Lakers with their top two guys hurt currently. You don't know how they're going to round into shape come playoffs. So if you're the Nuggets, it's just got to be such a stab in the gut to have your best playmaker on the perimeter to actually be out for the season and now putting so much more on Nikola Jokic, which might win him an MVP perhaps, but it's probably not going to get him to a championship.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, normally, L, I would say, you know what they say about assuming, but in this case, I actually think your assumption is right because I am super fatalist about this, which sucks because I was really excited for this. To Izzy's point, the only team that I think, when healthy, is a sure thing is the Lakers. The Clippers always have that room for collapse. We saw what happened with, you know, the Nuggets last year, and you're looking at this as the next step. Once you add Gordon, they've won 17 of 20. You've got a guy in Murray that's got 26-plus points a game in 19 playoff games. This was the piece. Put it all together, and you hope you can take advantage of a Lakers squad that doesn't have much depth or still has to struggle with injuries at the top. Without that 1-2 punch, it doesn't matter if you've got a good three. You need the 1-2, and now you lost one of those two. And to me, it's just it.
Elle wants some of her points back because Sarah was so much in agreement with her. Okay, Clinton Yates, please, to you.
Look, here's the deal with Murray is that we saw the breakout performance last year in the bubble, and we remember what it took in order for the Nuggets to get eliminated. It was an incredible play by AD and the Lakers. This team was there. I don't know that they were as far as a piece as much as they were away, you know, from the big deal, as much as they were away from just a great play. But here's what Murray losing that loss is. Murray's the meanest guy on the team. You lose something on the court as an opponent when you don't have him there. And that's where I think the Nuggets lose the most in terms of psychologically. If you don't have him, you're not as good. It's as simple as that as far as I'm concerned, because that's how good he is. I feel for him as well, man. It looked terrible to watch him go
down.
That's
a really great point, Clinton, because the way the two mesh, Murray and Jokic, it's different styles. There's a mean guy in Murray, and Jokic is kind of in slow-mo. El, please come on back in.
No, I'm laughing that Sarah and Izzy would acknowledge that the West is weak and then still in the same breath say that the Nuggets can't take advantage of the fact that they're weak despite the fact they're going to be missing
Jamal
Murray.
But you think they can replace the points per game? You think they can replace all those baskets that have been assisted on without Murray in the lineup that you brought up, Elle?
They have Jokic. He's the great facilitator. And they have Michael Porter Jr., who's one of the best off-the-ball talents right now. He's a great third. He'll have to step in and be a really capable second. He's possible.
Israel, last word.
I just want to say the words Utah Jazz because I completely forgot
about
them.
Yes, thank you. I was about to mute you for that, but I guess you avoid that. We'll mute Clinton and Sarah and Duncan for not bringing up the Utah Jazz as well. We'll move on. Last night, Steph setting the franchise mark for Warriors scoring. Steph and Wilt in the same sentence. I'm a sucker for that photo every time. You can take a photo of yourself after ordering takeout. Scribble a number on a piece of paper. It's gold to me. Setting the Warriors scoring mark while scoring 53, by the way. When NBA historians like yourself write the history of history, would any of you say Steph's impact has been Wilt-like? Anyone? Israel? You seem to be biting. Go ahead.
I'm not, but every time I tip over 30% from now, I'm going to write it on a piece of paper and take a photo. I do think that Steph has had a great impact on the league, right? Obviously. When we look at comparing to Wilt, I don't really see the comparison because there weren't a lot of, 7-foot-1 giants coming out and saying, hey, I want to be like Wilt Chamberlain. They couldn't replicate what he did, which was absolutely dominate the game to the point where they had to change the rules on goaltending. They had to make the lane wider and everything else. So with Steph Curry, I mean, it wasn't too long after Steph that you had Trae Young coming into the league and people making that comparison and saying, hey, could he be the next Steph Curry? And in terms of the evolution of the game, the three-pointer was going to be more of a part of the game as time went on anyway. How they got those shots, well, Steph is changing that, of course. But again, there are people who can try to replicate that. So in the history of the game, I think Wilt, if you're, nitpicking here, will probably have made more of it.
El Duncan.
These conversations are always to be like when I hear like a 20-year-old debate whether music videos killed the radio star. How would you actually know? I don't know. I wasn't alive when Will Chamberlain was playing. What I do know is that they're trying to currently change what NBA players do in the three-point line because of what Steph does. And I know that he's absolutely revolutionized the position. We now look at long-range assassin as something totally different than what we used to. And I also know that there's a 5'8" 10th grader right now still believing he's got a shot at the league if he can just get a ridiculous jump shot like Steph Curry because Steph Curry has thrived. So, yes, I would say he has revolutionized the league in a way that we won't see impacted for years from now.
Glenn Yates.
I remind people all the time, the only player in the history of the NBA to win the MVP award unanimously is one Wardell Stephen Curry. The guy has the hardware, and he's done the work. And when I talk about some of the greatest teams in terms of the history of the NBA, I'm sorry. That team that lost to the Cavs in the finals, you can die on Rings Mountain. I watched the basketball. They daggone sure revolutionized the way that everybody played, and that to me is enough as far as what I've seen in my day to know that it was, again, forget Wilt. I don't know anything about that in terms of what my actual eyeballs saw, but I do know that the basketball world today is different because of Steph Curry and what the Warriors did. He's at the lead of that.
It's Sarah Spain.
Well, first of all, I'd like to point out my takeout papers would say 4, which is the amount of pieces of utensils are included for people, and 1, which is the amount of people eating the food that arrived. And that is the case every
time.
Seems
to be an issue for
you. As for this, it is, yeah. That's why I yell, food's here, to an empty house, just in case anyone's judging. The point with this is that they both changed the game, but in different ways. And actually, Izzy elucidated that. With Wilt Chamberlain, he was such a unicorn that they changed the game, including things like you can't dunk from the free throw line, because of the way he was able to be kind of the unicorns we see today, 7-footer who does all these other things. In the case of Steph, it's the opposite. He changed the game so much that everybody has now opened up themselves to playing the way he does because they can, because physically he's not as different and unique. So they both changed the game in totally different ways, and I think they might change the rules for Steph too. If Bob Ryan has it the way he wants, there'll be a 4-point line and people have to shoot from half court in order to get extra points. I mean, we're still awaiting.
No, if Bob has the way he wants, there would be no 3-point line. We know that already. Israel, you said something like nobody was like Wilt, 7'1" and as athletic as he was. I mean, he was a track star when he was in high school. But the point is that everyone can be like Steph in some regard. That's what El was saying, you know? And that's what makes him so revolutionary. He opened up the game in ways that, sure, you're not going to look like Wilt and dominate like he will, but some people, Trae Young is an example. You brought him up. He looked at Steph and said, this is how I can get into the NBA and become a star. Sorry, we have no more time here because
right,
I know.
But even with Steph.
Yeah. Sorry. No one is Steph, but it's apples and oranges. We can all admit that. We have to talk about this next topic, please. Julian Edelman. Edelman's retirement. It earned a tweet from the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And I bring this up because this conversation about whether Edelman's a Hall of Famer, I don't know where it started. I don't know why it's so vigorous. We can talk about it. Here's his resume. My difficulty here is when you have a talk about somebody who has zero All-Pros and is 260th all-time in receiving touchdowns, you wind up dumping on the guy the day he retires when you could be talking about, you know, what a great career he had. One Super Bowl MVP, top three catch all-time in that game, a suspension for PEDs. How do you remember Edelman as a great player or a good player on a great team, and dare you even bring up the Hall of Fame? Clinton Yates, first to you.
He does not pass the first test that one needs to get into the Hall of Fame, which is being famous, because he's barely the guy that I remember from the different Patriot squads.
Being famous?
A wide receiver.
Wait, being
like,
famous is the Hall of Fame? I get it.
I'm sorry.
In
is the it
literal
not called
semantic,
the Hall of Fame?
Yes, of course it is.
But as in you have to do something that's going to make people know who you are. If he walked in here right now with a jersey on that said Edelman, I wouldn't know if he was
Thank you, Tony
Cordova. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's my point here. He's not that big of a name. He had a nice career. Let's move on. Why are we putting this on this guy to feel like he's got to be in Canton? It's not that.
Sarah Spade. Big.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame conversation isn't accurate. There's any number of statistics, especially regular season over the course of his career, that you can point to that will prove that. And some really impressive playoff stats. I think what I'll remember him as is a good player on a great team who is a great story. This guy played corner and receiver and special teams, and he was a quarterback in college. And at any moment when they asked him to do something in order to be able to stay on the roster, he stuck around, and then he took it one step more and became a guy that helped them win Super Bowls. So it's a great story. It doesn't have to be about the Hall of Fame.
Israel Gutierrez.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Tony. It's sort of it's not great for Julian, who has a Super Bowl MVP, who has Super Bowl rings. Why can't those be his trophies right now? Why can't those be the things that we put up and saying, and then waiting 5 years and then having that Hall of Fame discussion? So it's a bit unfair to him, but I'll think of him the same way Sarah did, as a good player on a great team, and frankly, just in terms of representation, a Jewish athlete who's been very vocal about his faith. So I think it's a very memorable career, and to have the whole discussion just be about the Hall of Fame is unfair.
El Duncan.
He's not even the best slot receiver that ever played for the Patriots. That's Wes Welker. Like, I'm sorry. Wes Welker just doesn't have any hardware, right? He was unfortunately played in the Tom Brady and the Peyton Manning years where they just weren't winning any rings, but he was it. And to your point, yeah, like, it's a great story. Listen, if we were in high school, then Julian Edelman should win all the superlatives. Best Photoshopper and least likely to succeed but did. And best awesome story because he was a 7th-round pick or whatever. But this is just absolutely ridiculous. He's a Patriots Hall of Famer. He'll be in the Ring of Fame, but you've seen the numbers. Stop it. If it's about Super Bowl MVPs, give one to Hines Ward and put him in camp.
Well, Hines Ward's got an incredible case, and he hasn't even made it to the finalist group yet.
But
he's got nearly double the catches in the regular season, and they both have that
right.
Super Bowl MVP. All right. I got it. And I'm liking what you're doing there. I'm seeing what you're putting down there. Gutierrez, you have a last dance for us, or is El going to dominate?
I've got an idea. Since Tom Brady has had 3 Hall of Fame careers, just do a whole Tom Brady wing of the Hall of Fame.
That's the last
the likes
word.
Of we, him in that way.
Then we don't need participation trophies.
That I can get with.
We'll be back by ourselves.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
We just talked about how wide open the Western Conference might be now. Mavericks, you know, they could be in the conversation. They got rolled by the Sixers last night, and this inconsistent season continues. Their best highlight was Luka pregame. They're sitting on the 7th seed, which is play-in territory. Luka, after the game, you play 72 games to get into the playoffs, then maybe you lose two in a row and you're out of the playoffs. I don't see the point of that. So he's questioning the play-in. Mark Cuban went even further today as well. He's saying it's not a good idea. Buy or sell, Clinton Yates?
I'm going to buy what the Mavs are saying. I realize that they're speaking on this because they're the ones in positions to have to deal with it. But at the same time, this is in addition to the schedule that I just didn't need. I'm not somebody that has a problem with mixing things up. As long as you change it to something that's actually pretty cool, this isn't that cool.
You don't think it's this is cool? You don't like the play?
All right. No big deal.
Darius Fain, how about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of torn on this. I understand why they want to prevent people from trying to move around positions at the end by tanking or not trying. But I think Cuban sold me with his argument, which is that in a condensed season that's already seeing so many games in a short time, this forces you to play players instead of rest them, which puts them in a bad position for what matters most, which is that postseason run. I don't know if it's the right choice, especially for this year.
It's Rui Gutierrez.
I'm buying Cuban and Doncic. Look, I think it just devalues the regular season, you know, and it doesn't really solve the issue of keeping teams from tanking. One or two, maybe, but honestly, in a regular situation, those teams would still be close enough to the 8th seed to fight for that playoff spot and not tank. So the idea of playing one or possibly four more games to not, I don't think that's enough incentive. So I'm with Cuban. You got to go the full 1 through 20 here.
And L. Duncan, how about you?
Well, flattening the lotto curve, I believe, is what the NBA was trying to do a couple years ago to disincentivize tanking. I like it. I'm sorry. Like, you're only saying this because you are the 7th seed. This would hold more weight to me if it was a perennial 1 seed. If it was a LeBron James saying this, it would mean something. But the Mavericks are always a 7, 8, 9 seed. So that's why it's bothersome to them. I think we get some more intrigue at the end of the season. And also, if you have or suffer from some significant injuries, you still have a shot at the end of the season to make a run at the playoffs. And I like that.
You brought up LeBron and the Lakers. Well, who knows? Davis is out for another 2 weeks. LeBron for another 2 weeks. They could be in that position as well. Buy or sell two. The standing ovation and video tribute AJ Hinch got last night in his return to Houston. He's now manager of Detroit, of course. Sarah Spain, how'd you see it?
Okay, check my receipts on the Astros. I have not forgiven them. I will not forgive them. We can boo them for as long as we want. They have to eat it. Okay. That's the way this goes okay. When you cheese. That being said, anyone who's surprised that the fans of the team that won because of this manager, of course they're going to give them a video. They won the World Series. It hasn't been removed from them or vacated, so they're going to cheer them on. They're going to be excited, and that's the way it goes.
Speaking of vacated, a clause you used in your answer is a banned phrase, so that's a deduction for Spain. Gutierrez, how about you? I love it.
I can't keep up.
I mean, I'm not surprised whatsoever, and I don't know really what the Astros are supposed to do there because their player didn't get penalized, and, you know, AJ did, and so it's just like, hey, now they also feel sorry for him on top of everything else. I'm curious, though, what those fans who were applauding, what they were really applauding for. Was it like, hey, thanks for letting those guys cheat, AJ, or hey, thanks for just looking the other way, or were they saying, hey, you're a great manager? Either way, it's all murky, and it's just...
L. Duncan.
I think, at least according to them, they're rooting on the man that he was for the city, his charitable contributions, those kinds of things. Because at the end of the day, you expect that they were going to do that. But what I don't want is kind of what Izzy just intimated. What I don't want today is for us to start painting AJ Hinch as a scapegoat, because the real sacrificial lamb here in this situation with the Astros is Dusty Baker. He keeps having to answer for something that he did not do. In fact, he's had to answer and apologize more for their cheating than
that
AJ
may be
Hinch,
true.
Actually.
Although he's saying, let's stop, let's move on as well. We did this story last week. On Dusty Baker. Clint Yates, how about you?
Yeah, but that's why this is all so awkward. It's kind of like, why? Do we really need this at this moment? I mean, it's just like the Astros are an organization that beyond just the cheating stuff, there's other things that make people not have a big, you know, a very good opinion of them. And this is kind of one of those things. You're kind of pushing the envelope a little too much, all right? You didn't get punished. You got away with that. Let's just leave it alone and let Hinch get his propers elsewhere as opposed to on the field in front of Dusty. So here's...
It's 18, and Spain, after using the banned word, is about to be eliminated. However, Sara Spain's first show since accurately predicting the women's tournament. She had Stanford to win it. She never received her bonus for that. She's also, as you can see here, the proud possessor of 3 uneliminations, which she can use at a later date. But that prediction of Stanford gets her into the final round. Yates, Gutierrez, woo-hoo! Sorry to say.
That's why I have to take the L here.
Spain, Duncan. A lot of dancing in today's show. Showdown in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're going on both sides of the speedometer for this first showdown. 51 miles per hour. Get you a ticket for going too slow in the Jersey Turnpike. That's where Greinke was last night. Good looking strike, though. And then Ronald Acuna Jr., blistering speed, tagging up and scoring on a pop-up to second. 2 days ago, he had the infield single on the most routine-looking ground that ever. More impressed by Greinke's lack of speed or Acuna's speed. Sara Spain, first to you.
Oh, the speed is so good, but the ephus is more rare. I'd call it a griefus when it comes from Greinke because he does it the most. That's more impressive.
Mm-hmm. Well,
exactly. Ephus does it all. He's King Ephus. Acuna ran 31 feet in 1 second. Are you? That's nuts, Sara. And that actually helped his team score. Greinke was trash last night. He didn't do anything.
Stat queen today, L. Duncan. 31 feet per second, which is more than, 30 is considered the greatest you can be. 31. Amazing. From Acuna. Tilde over the end. Point, Duncan. We'll move on. A movie about Sean Payton coaching high school football the season he was suspended for Bounty Gate. It's now in the works. And playing Sean Payton, it has been reported by Peter King, now others, Kevin James. Mm. L, how should Sean Payton feel about the casting here?
Y'all are petty for picking literally the worst video of Kevin James ever to show.
I like it.
If I'm Sean Payton, I'm thinking, who ever believed that I was actually funny? Why Kevin James?
Sarah?
Oh, boy. I mean, when Cliff Kingsbury's getting the Ryan Gosling and you get Paul Blart Mall Cop, are we genuinely asking how he should feel about the casting? I think we know.
Kevin James is great on his feet, though. If there is a dancing scene, I would be proud to have Kevin James. L. Duncan, take 30 seconds of fade time, please.
Thank you so much. The biggest story in House Duncan right now is that it's my father, Clark's 66th birthday, and I want to give him a shout out because he is the original girl dad. He is incredible.
All right.
Would drive me all over the country for softball. He would coach me. In fact, he stayed in the bathtub of a hotel room one time because the snoring was keeping me up and he knew I needed sleep. He has broken speed barriers when I have had flat tires just to get to me in time. And because his birthday is the day after mine, it's always been overshadowed so much that he asked today if he could post a thirst trap picture.
Yo! Look at that! It's unbelievable!
Here's your flowers.
That's good.
Happy birthday, Mr. Duncan.
Tomorrow.